Yeah, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving a valuable association and time. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Pavitra Madhavi, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances on Glory Sri Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you all so much for giving us your very valuable association.
Mataji, I like your background.
Yes, this, we chose this background for the topic. So we'll be speaking about the gopis of Vrindavan today. That's the reason this background was chosen. Okay. So we are continuing our study of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Today is Book 2, Session 42. We'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Deenatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Radhanatha Swami Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayata Deshatharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. All glories to Srila Sanatan Goswami, the author of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we are now in Book 2, Session 42. This is the book that deals with the journey of Gopakumar all the way to Vrindavan and the deliverance of Janasharma. And in our previous few sessions, we have been seeing how Parikshit Maharaj was glorifying the residents of Rajabhumi. So he began glorifying the clouds, the grass of Vrindavan, the bhumi, the land of Vrindavan, and then the forest animals, the aboriginal women, and then he spoke about the cowherd boys. And after he spoke about the cowherd boys in our previous class, we saw that he spoke about the parents of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda, and not only Nanda and Yashoda, but also everyone else who had parental affection for Krishna. So that is what we saw in our previous session and we saw their glories. So now, as expected, we are going to move on to the most important devotees of Krishna, who are the younger gopis of Vrindavan. So we'll be glorifying the younger gopis. We will repeat whatever Parikshit Maharaj has told. And Parikshit Maharaj himself was repeating what was already told in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will be referring to Srimad Bhagavatam verses and we will look at it in great detail with the commentaries of Srila Sanatan Goswami as he has presented it in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita purports. So that's what we are going to do. And gopis, the glories of the gopis has been the chief theme of the entire Brihad Bhagavatamrita, be it book one or book two. Ultimately, it has been reinstated over and over that the younger gopis of Vrindavan who had Madhurya Rasa with Krishna are actually the topmost of Krishna's devotee. So that is the theme in the book one and also in book two. So therefore, as we are concluding book two, we are nearing the ending. We've always been thinking we are nearing the ending, but somehow Brihad Bhagavatamrita is kind of long towards the end. We have not yet reached the end. We will take at least two classes to glorify the gopis, the younger gopis of Vrindavan, because Sanatan Goswami has given so much importance to understanding who they are, how much they love Krishna and how much Krishna loves them. So it is very important for us to understand that. And our mood is to be in the servant of the servant of these gopis who had so much unconditional love for Krishna. So therefore, The glories of the gopis are dealt with in great detail, and this session as well as the next week's session will also be a glorification of the gopis. And if possible, we will try to end by end of August, that is the last week of August. Or maybe the next session itself, if we have more time, we can extend and we can end. But I would prefer we take it slow and we can end it by end of August. We can complete the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna willing, if Krishna feels it's okay, and if he gives the opportunity for us to continue every Thursday, if it is possible, yes, we'll try to complete. So having said all that, let's get into Parikshit's verses that he started quoting about the glories of the gopis. So this was the first verse he spoke in this context. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 19, verse number 16. Gopinam paramananda asit govinda darshane kshanam yuga shatam iva yasam yena vina bhavat. Translation is, the young gopis took great pleasure in seeing Govinda come home, since for them even a moment without his association seemed like 100 ages. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 10:19-16. So now Parikshit Maharaj, he has begun to glorify the gopis, their great fortune. And he quotes this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that was spoken by Shukadev Goswami, describing the ecstasy that the gopis would feel when they would see Krishna return home in the evening after playing with his friends in the forests of Vrindavan. Now, this particular verse was actually spoken in the Bhagavatam right after Krishna saved the cowherd boys from the Munja fire. So Krishna is known to have saved his associates from the forest fire at least twice. So this particular incident was after he swallowed the forest fire, the Munja fire, and he saved his cowherd friends. So right after that, the gopis were waiting. They were waiting in their homes because they didn't accompany Krishna to the forest. The cowherd boys were the one who were fortunate enough to go and play with Krishna while tending the cows. The gopis were staying back at home. So they were waiting and waiting, and they just wanted to catch a glimpse of Lord Govinda's beautiful face. And the minute they were waiting, they thought that the minute they catch a glimpse of Lord Govinda's face, they would reach the highest limits of ecstasy. So this is what they were hankering for at the end of every day, when they can see Govinda's face and feel that happiness, feel that highest limits of ecstasy. So we can see from this verse that just by seeing the Lord's face, they were getting so much ecstasy. Then what to talk about the situation when the later, the gopis in the evenings and the nights, they would go and meet Krishna, they would talk to him, they would enjoy various sports with him. You can imagine the types of ecstasies that the gopis would feel when they would get their personal association. For the gopis, even a very short time of not seeing Krishna through the day, it was like as if it seemed to be like 100 yugas for them. So when we love someone a lot, even a little bit of separation from them feels like it's been a long time since I've seen that person, right? So like that, the gopis, they were also feeling this very heavy pangs of separation, because Krishna through the day, he would go, he would tend cows, and these gopis would be waiting. They would keep waiting. When is Krishna going to return? When is Krishna going to return? And even that short period of that daytime between morning to evening would seem like hundreds of yugas for the gopis. So therefore, the gopis, again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they made a statement. They made a statement to Krishna. And this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, verse number 15. They said, when you go off to the forest during the day, tiny fraction of second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-15. So the gopis are telling, see, for us, when you go off to the forest during the day, even a second becomes like a millennium, means a long period of time, just because we cannot see you. And we are so eager to look at your beautiful face that is adorned with curly locks. Krishna has got beautiful, curly, silken, soft locks, locks of hair. And they love seeing Krishna's face that is like a moon surrounded by those curly locks. and the gopis, they are cursing Lord Brahma. Brahma is the creator. So they are cursing Lord Brahma, saying that Brahma has fashioned these eyelids. And you all know, for every nimesha, we all blink our eyes. You know, it's a fraction of a second. We blink our eyes. That's the natural way of the eyes to maintain its moisture. So that's how Brahma has fashioned the eyelids. And that's how our body works. But then the gopis, they were cursing Brahma. Because why, Brahma? Why did you create these eyelids that are fashioned to blink now and then? Because even in the fraction of blinking, when we lose Krishna's vision, for us it is like a millennium. So this is how the gopis feel in their separation of Krishna. Of course, actually, the time that the gopis spent without Krishna during the day was literally not for 100 yugas or something, but it's just a subjective experience of the pain and the anxiety that they would feel in separation. The gopis, in their separation, they would feel this pain and anxiety. And it makes perfect sense, because these gopis, they would suffer so much from a moment's separation from Krishna. But when they would see Krishna after the separation, that one moment of catching sight of Krishna, like they were waiting at the doorstep, right, to see Krishna, that moment of catching sight of Krishna was worth it for them. Though it would feel like yugas and yugas, they would receive so much bliss by just catching a fraction of a moment's darshan of Krishna. So like this, the gopis, they spent almost all their days like this. It was not that only on this particular day when Krishna had to return after the swallowing the fire in the Munja forest did the gopis make a statement like this. But the gopis felt that each and every day the gopis felt like that. But then in the Bhagavatam, at the end of this particular chapter, only this verse is mentioned, because Krishna, he swallowed the fire in the forests of Vrindavan and saved his cowherd boys. But these cowherd girls, they were having this fire of separation in their heart. So having that fire of separation in their heart, Shukadev Goswami is saying, when Krishna came back and the gopis caught a glimpse of his lotus feet, that burning fire in their hearts was extinguished by the darshan of the beautiful face of Krishna that they received. So like this, Krishna saved the cowherd girls from a blazing fire of separation from him. And the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, definitely they have the greatest love for Krishna. And for them, even one moment of separation from Krishna seems like millions and millions of years to them. So that is the meaning of that verse. Now we'll go on to another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, verse number 43. I'll read the translation. Their minds absorbed in thoughts of him. They conversed about him, acted out his pastimes, and felt themselves filled with his presence. They completely forgot about their homes as they loudly sang the glories of Lord Krishna's transcendental qualities. So this is a very beautiful verse from the Bhagavatam, and it describes how love for Krishna made the gopis forget everything else. When Krishna disappeared, leaving the gopis in total distress during the Rasa dance, in the night time, Krishna would dance with the gopis. But at one point during the Rasa dance, once Krishna left them and went away. So when Krishna disappeared from the Rasa dance, the gopis, they got very, very anxious, and they started searching out for Krishna everywhere. They were searching everywhere in the forest, but they couldn't find him at all. So at one point, they had to give up their search, because their search was getting futile. They couldn't find Krishna everywhere. And while they were searching for Krishna like this, it so happened that the gopis, they wandered into the thickest portions of the forest where even moonlight cannot penetrate. Sometimes if you see these Amazon forests, they are so thick, right? Like meaning there is so much dense foliage that even sunlight or moonlight cannot penetrate. So like that, they had wandered into the dense forests of Vrindavan where even this moonlight did not penetrate. And though they had given up their search and they had wandered into such a place, under even these circumstances, one would be very scared. Right? If you have gone into such a place, you would obviously be very scared and you would want to go home. But the gopis, even under such conditions, they didn't even have a thought of going back home. but rather, instead of being disappointed with Krishna, instead of complaining about Krishna's cruelty, because Krishna was the one who left them and went away. So instead of complaining about Krishna's cruelty, these gopis who were so surrendered, what they did was they began to sing his glories in separation from Krishna. And even at that time, even while being lost in that forest, in that situation, in that fearful situation, see how conscious they were of Krishna. Their minds were completely absorbed in him. They could only, because their minds were so trained that they could only accept Krishna and never reject Krishna under any circumstance. Their speech, their power of speech was totally absorbed in Krishna, meaning they called out about the holy names of Krishna, they spoke about Krishna, they performed the Sankirtan, and with all their other working senses like hands and legs, they began to make garlands, they started picking flowers, they were making garlands, they were making soft beds. So like that, they started serving Krishna in various ways. With their mind, body and words, completely they dedicated everything in the service of Krishna, because their whole existence was only Krishna. So like this, these gopis, what to talk about what they were doing in the forest of Vrindavan, that too in the middle of the their dance with Krishna, even at homes, when they were at homes during the day, even at that time, their whole thoughts, words, actions, everything was dedicated only to Krishna. So whenever they were going about their household duties, they would be oblivious to their surroundings. And they would just internally be thinking about Krishna all day and night. So when the daytime the gopis, in his absence, they were doing this, then obviously in the forest where Krishna, they thought, is somewhere nearby, why would they not always be thinking about Krishna? They were completely intensely immersed in the remembrance of Krishna. And at one point, the gopis in the forest, while they were thinking about Krishna and talking about Krishna like this, they became so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna that they started imbibing his unique characteristics of his personality. They became so absorbed that their speech became like Krishna, their talk became like Krishna, their walk became like Krishna. They started taking the threefold bending form. Their speech became grave and articulate and charming like Krishna. And they started developing the qualities of Krishna out of natural devotion. Now, when they were, because they were so absorbed in Krishna, they were thinking about Krishna so much that they started imbibing Krishna in every action of theirs. So this is not something like how the impersonalists think that I will become one with Krishna. This is out of pure devotion. This is out of devotional absorption. So the gopis, they went on singing the glories of Krishna, and they almost became... they started appearing like Krishna in various ways, thinking about him. Very, very beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The next verse that Parikshit quotes is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 44, verse number 14. The verse goes like this. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's forms, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame and opulence. It is well perfect, ever fresh and extremely rare. So this is how they would always drink the beautiful form of Krishna, the beautiful face of Krishna. Now, this verse actually was not spoken by Shukadev. I mean, it was not spoken by Shukadev Goswami or the gopis or Krishna. It was actually spoken by the women in Mathura. The women in Mathura, when they saw Krishna and Balram arrive in the sacrificial arena of Kamsa, where Kamsa was having the wrestling match with Mushtika Chanura and other wrestlers, when Kamsa had invited Krishna and Balram to do that so that he could kill Krishna, that time, everyone assembled there, all the people, all the Mathuravasis, they were all assembled there and they were watching how Krishna was approaching these wrestlers. So at that time, the Mathuravasis, they were just thinking, when they saw Krishna, they lost their heart to Krishna. Krishna looked so beautiful. He is so attractive that they lost their hearts to Krishna. And these Mathuravasis, in turn, they were glorifying the great fortune of the gopis. So they were thinking, how fortunate are those gopis in Vrindavan? Gopis in Vrindavan, they always had the association of Krishna all this while. So how fortunate they must be. So thinking like that, they spoke this verse. The Mathura Vasis. They said, what austerities must have the gopis performed? With their eyes, they are always drinking the nectar of the Lord's form. This face of Krishna is the very essence of loveliness, and it is not at all equaled by anyone or surpassed by anyone. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is well perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. That is the beauty of Krishna. So these gopis of Vrindavan, the Mathuravasis, are telling that they could always enjoy seeing Krishna, always chant his glories in all circumstances. So the Vedic scriptures, they explain that various benefits can be gained by a variety of disciplines. But the women of Mathura had never heard of anyone perfecting their life just by seeing Krishna, just by seeing Krishna. So the women of Mathura definitely have received a very great benefit. Krishna has definitely been very, very special to them. What penances or religious duties or meditation did they do, they're thinking? What tapas did the gopis do to have this great privilege of seeing Krishna's beauty with their mortal eyes? It is such a rare thing. What great fortune they have. What austerity they must have done to always be glorifying Krishna with their tongue. So like this, these Mathuravasis, they were thinking about the glories of the gopis. And at this point in time, the Mathuravasis actually didn't even say the name Krishna. What glories have the gopis done to see his face, to talk about him? At that, with a lot of reverence, these Mathuravasis, they even did not take the name of Krishna when they actually chanted the verse. When they chant, the actual Sanskrit verse says him. What glories the gopis have, because they got the opportunity to see him, talk about him, always glorifying him. So like that, these Mathuravasis, out of great reverence, they were not even taking his name, taking Krishna's name directly. And Krishna, according to some people, they may say that he's just an incarnation. But even for those people, you go and ask them, who's the most wonderful form of the Lord? Who's the most beautiful form of the Lord? They will say it is Krishna. Who's got the most charming pastimes? They will say it is Krishna. So even if a person doesn't understand that Krishna is the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna, he is the ultimate source of everything, even if they do not understand that, they just consider him to be an ordinary incarnation, even they also, you go and ask them about, there are so many incarnations of the Lord, whom do you think is the most attractive, who is the most complete? Their answer will obviously be Krishna, because the kind of pastimes that Krishna has done, no other incarnation has ever, ever, ever even attempted to do. The closest you can get is Lord Ramachandra. But even there also, you do not see so many rasas. So definitely Krishna is, there's no one equal to Krishna. So when the Mathuravasis are saying no one can equal him or surpass him, it is very true. Even if you consider him as an avatara, even then no one can actually equal him or surpass him. Then you can imagine the people who understand that he is Rasaraj and he is the source of everything, how much they can appreciate the glory and the beauty of Krishna. In fact, Krishna is so beautiful that the ornaments get beautiful because of his beauty. That's why Sri Uddhava, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he makes a very, very beautiful statement. He says, Yanmartyalilautikam swayoga mayabalam dashayata grihitam vishmapanam swasyacha subhagarade parampadam bhushanam bhushanangam. Bhushanam bhushanangam, he calls him. Bhushanam bhushanangam means one who renders beauty to the ornaments. So we all dress up with ornaments and with makeup and with beautiful clothes so that we can look beautiful. It will enhance our beauty, because ordinarily we don't have so much beauty. None of us are so beautiful. But Krishna, when he looks very, very beautiful. In fact, if you just take Shainarthi Darshan, actually Krishna looks most beautiful at that time with minimum ornaments. And when he wears ornaments, he gives beauty. He just gracefully gives beauty to those ornaments. So that is the beauty of Krishna. He is the most beautiful. The translation of this verse that Sri Uddhava said is that the Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as Vaikuntha. So even Uddhava says that. There are so many forms of the Lord. Lord Vaikunthanath is there, Narayana is there. So many forms of the Lord. But the pastimes and the beauty of Krishna meaning it's so nice that it surpasses everyone else's, even his own other forms. It is so much better than any other form of Krishna. So like this, Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. Bhushana Bhushanangam. So these excellences of Krishna are not realized anywhere else except in Vrajabhumi. So actually it is true that the Mathuravasis, when they are glorifying the Vrajavasis and they are glorifying Vrindavan, they are glorifying because they feel there is something lacking in other places. It is true that Krishna exhibits all this beauty and all the sweet qualities to the maximum only in the land of Vrindavan. Those who taste Krishna's glories that he has exhibited in the land of Vrindavan, they appear newer and newer every moment. Every minute, his attractiveness appears newer and newer. So therefore, nobody can really understand the full glories of Krishna. Krishna is the most charming of all people, and he possesses all six opulences incomplete. And he is indeed the real definition of Bhagavan. Because every opulence of Krishna is so complete, all the six opulences of Krishna. So like this, the gopis of Raja, they are so fortunate. They are always seeing Krishna's beauty. And thinking about the gopis of Vrindavan, the Mathura Vasis, the women in Mathura, they were speaking in the wrestling arena in present tense. They are telling how fortunate are these gopis. So they speak about the gopis who are constantly drinking the beauty of Krishna with their eyes and constantly speaking the glories of Krishna. So like that, the Mathura Vasis, they speak in present tense. Now Krishna has already come to Mathura. He left Vrindavan and he came. So they should have told us in the past tense, right? But however, in this verse, if you see the original verse, they are telling it in the present tense. Why is that so? Because the Vrindavan Vasis, it is not that they were singing when he was present and now they are not singing about Krishna. Or they were seeing the beauty of Krishna at that time, now they are not seeing the beauty of Krishna. The Vrajavasis, they never fail to see Krishna. Even when Krishna is physically absent also, they always think about Krishna so much so that they literally see Krishna everywhere. They see wherever they go, they see only Krishna. Whatever they speak only about Krishna. Whether he is present physically or he is not present physically. That is the beauty and the glory of the Vrindavan women, of the young gopis of Vrindavan. So like this, the Mathura Vasis are saying that we do not have any chance of matching their intense affection that the gopis are always showing. We don't have a chance. We just don't have a chance to match the love and the affection that they show to Krishna. One more verse from Srimad Bhagavatam Parikshit quotes. This is Canto 10, Chapter 44, verse number 15. The ladies of Vraja are the most fortunate women. Their minds are fully attached to Krishna. Their throats are always choked with tears. They constantly sing about him while milking cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung, riding on swings, caring for their crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleaning their houses and so on. Their minds are fixed on Krishna alone. Canto 10, Chapter 44, verse number 15. Very beautiful verse. This is what simple cowherd women in villages would do. This was their day-to-day activities. It is not that they were sitting and reading scripture or they were listening to some big talks. Nothing like that. Their life was very simple. They were just doing simple household activities, simple ladies, but they were very fortunate because whatever they did in every activity they did, whether they were just milking cows or whether they were cleaning their house or churning butter or taking care of the babies doing household, any sort of household chores, even at that time, they would constantly think about Krishna and constantly speak about Krishna. So therefore, they made sure that their minds were constantly fixed on Krishna alone and nothing else. Even though the gopis were unable to see Krishna all the time, like for example, when he would go away to the cowherd pastures or when he would go away to Mathura or anywhere else, the gopis always remain submerged in an ocean of pleasure, just chanting his glories. And it is not that the gopis were engaging in Sankirtan only when the situation was conducive. So sometimes it happens to all of us, we just engage in Krishna Kirtan or we engage in listening to Krishna Katha only when the situation is conducive. But if the situation is not conducive, none of us want to chant or even hear or do anything. A situation, time, place, circumstance, everything is perfect. Okay, I have Bhagavatam class, I have Satchaitanya Charitamrita class, okay, I have put it in my schedule, I will do it. But other than that, it may not be like continuous remembrance of Krishna. But the gopis, you see, in every activity they were doing, they were continuously remembering Krishna. It was not, sometimes when we do devotional service, like we go to the temple, we make garlands, or we arrange something for bhoga, or we do worship. At that time, we try to hear kirtan, or we try to hear Prabhupada's lecture, or something like that. But the gopis, it was not that they were thinking about Krishna only when they were performing a specific service. But they were chanting his names and glories always in all situations. Whether it was a direct service meant for Krishna or just taking care of things at home, they understood that everything they do is ultimately for Krishna's pleasure. So therefore, they were continuously thinking of Krishna in all situations. There's a very beautiful verse that Sanatan Goswami quotes from the Vishnu Purana. Very, very lovely verse. So this happened during the Rasa Leela pastime. So during the Rasa dance, when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, for every gopi there was one Krishna who was dancing. So at that time, Krishna, while he was dancing, he would sing beautiful songs. He would sing the song about the autumn moon and how the autumn moon lights the ponds and how the lotus glows in the ponds because of the autumn moon. So like this, Krishna was a great poet. So he would sing beautiful songs like this. But then the gopis, what they were singing is they were just singing Krishna's name again and again in response. So when Krishna is singing some songs, beautiful, lovely songs, at that time, the gopis, they would just sing Krishna, 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 because the only thing that they could think of is Krishna. And Krishna would congratulate them for their beautiful response, they would redouble their chanting and chant louder, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Like this, the women in Vrajabhumi, even when Krishna was right with them and Krishna was encouraging them with beautiful poetic songs and other things, even at that time, the only thing that came out of their mouths was Krishna, Krishna. And if he tried to encourage them to congratulate them or encourage them, they would shout even louder, Krishna, not shout, rather sing even louder, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, and it is to be understood that it was not only the cowherd girls, the Vrajabhumi girls who were like this, even the Pulimba women and the Abhira tribe or whoever it may be, in the forest also we saw there were some women, even they also had a similar mood. They were always thinking about Krishna all the time. Even the forest dwelling women, they were also thinking of Krishna all the time. So like this, the city ladies of Mathura, they did not distinguish between the gopis of Vrindavan and women from other communities. But then they said everyone, whether they were living in the forest or whether they were living in the home, whether they were young girls, whether they had children, whether they had become old. In fact, everybody, they were always thinking about Krishna, and they were indeed the richest people, rich with love. And they had truly got the benediction from the goddess of fortune. They have excellent luck, and no other women of any other place have such great glory. The greatest richness one can get is the richness of love of God, and the goddess of fortune had truly given her real benediction, that is love of God, to these gopis. So like this, the gopis, they were so absorbed in the glories of Krishna that they were hardly aware of anything else when they were working. They were actually seeing Krishna even during their day-to-day activities. Even when Krishna was with them or without them, whatever it is, They were just carried away. Their minds were carried away by the power of the Lord into his pastimes. So their minds would be completely fixed on him. And gradually they would not be able to think of anything other than Krishna, because Krishna would carry away, steal away their minds. And they would begin to shed tears of love. And like this, they were completely absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. So therefore, these women were considered as the most fortunate, because they were constantly not only hearing and chanting about him, but also constantly thinking about him out of attraction in pure love. So like this, the gopis, they would do their household activities just for the sake of Krishna. But then a doubt might arise. So with such distracted minds, so we are saying that their minds were carried away, they were constantly thinking about Krishna. So like this, with such distracted minds, one may ask, how did the gopis maintain their bodies and fulfill their responsibilities? Because they were all in family life, they had families, and they had so many duties to take care of. So how did they maintain their family responsibilities? The answer is, because Krishna's Rukrama, he is the Supreme Lord who has amazing energies and he accomplishes very, very wonderful feats. The gopis, by fixing their hearts on him, they are easily able to carry out all the duties and obtain whatever is needed. Even though the gopis were actually thinking only about Krishna, it was not that they were not doing their duties. Their duties were all completely fulfilled by themselves, by the power of Krishna. So therefore, everything they did was actually for his satisfaction. Because they were trying to satisfy him in every way, everything they executed was also completely perfect by the force of Krishna consciousness. Everything became perfect. So there's a very beautiful thing that when we do any activity for the pleasure of Krishna, automatically that activity becomes perfect. Many of us have realized it at different points in Krishna service. When we do something solely for the pleasure of Krishna, be it any sort of even a menial service, somehow that activity becomes perfect. It is not because we are perfect that the activity became perfect. Rather, it is by the power of Krishna's satisfaction that the activity became perfect. So like that, the gopis also, whatever they did, all their household duties, everything was perfect because Krishna was pleased. And by his power, it all attained perfection. And like this, the women of Mathura, they conclude and they say that in fact, the gopis are the ones who are the most fortunate, and they cannot even aspire to come anywhere close to these gopis. So like that, the women of Mathura were talking. One more verse from the women of Mathura. They say, when the young gopis hear Krishna playing his flute as he leaves Vraja in the morning with his cows or returns with them at sunset, they very quickly come out of their houses to see him. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as he walks on the road, his smiling face mercifully glancing upon them. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam again, and we see that the ladies of Mathura, the next verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, so we see that the ladies of Mathura, they were thinking, this gopis of Vrindavan, they have this great privilege of seeing Krishna in all his glory, and at least they were very fortunate. But for us, maybe we will also become fortunate. Because Krishna is going to kill Kamsa and he is going to stay here with us. So maybe we are also going to become fortunate. But actually the truth is, the gopis say that we may become a little fortunate, but our fortune cannot match the great fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan. Because the gopis of Vrindavan, they are constantly thinking of Krishna. When Krishna is going to the forest to tend cows, that time also their minds are fixed on Krishna. And when it is sunset, when Krishna has to return, that time also their eyes are fixed on the path of Krishna's arrival and they are waiting to catch a glimpse of Krishna. But we here in Mathura, we do not have all the facility where we can constantly, you know, wait for Krishna to come and get a vision of him. Because in Mathura, obviously Krishna would be in the palace. It is not that he would go to the forest and then he would come back and all of us could keep our doors open and we could wait for Krishna to come. So we don't have all that great fortune. We have to be in our homes and the palace is somewhere else. So we do not have that great fortune like the gopis of Vrindavan. These little gopis, they were devoid of all physical strength, meaning they were small, they were small young girls, but they were definitely, they were abala, that is how the verse is. They were not very strong women where they could run and they could do what they want. They were not independent. They had to listen to their family. They were controlled by so many situations. But still, they were the most fortunate because they had this ability, whether Krishna is there or Krishna is not there, that did not matter to them. They constantly thought about Krishna. And when Krishna came in their view, the gopis, they would not only see him, but they would also hear this flute song, the flute song that he would make, and also the jingling of his foot bells and the way he would walk and dance like a dancer. So like this, they would get these beautiful treat for their ears, for their eyes, and for everything when Krishna would return. For every sense of theirs would get enlivened when Krishna would return. And Krishna's face was so beautiful. It was always decorated with merciful glances, especially towards the gopis. So Krishna would always make sure that he satisfied the gopis. He would give these merciful glances to the gopis and no one would actually notice it except these young gopis. And even when they were gazing at the beauty of Krishna, as Krishna was returning back, they would again develop this anxiety that very soon Krishna would go out of sight. So like this, so much anxiety and so much love and devotion the gopis constantly had for Krishna, and they were constantly meditating on Krishna. So therefore, the gopis are certainly the most fortunate, and everything about the gopis is very auspicious. Even they being separated from Krishna when he goes to the forest is also very auspicious. So when we say everything is very auspicious, what is so auspicious to be separated from Krishna? What is so auspicious to become so anguished? The answer is, superficially, they may be appear to be suffering, but the gopis internally, they become so absorbed in Krishna that they are experiencing great ecstasies from within. So therefore, the gopis are considered to be the most fortunate. Even in the morning, the gopis, before Krishna goes to tend the cows, we have seen this pastimes in the spiritual world, what was happening every day. How the gopis, they would make excuses from their homes and they would go to Mother Yashoda's home to see if Krishna has gotten ready to send him off. So like this early morning, they would make various excuses to come early to Mother Yashoda's home, and they would make sure that they see Krishna and they follow Krishna to some extent till he leaves to the forest. And they would be completely absorbed in the morning, evening, and all the time. And they would wait for Krishna to come back playing his flute. And like this, the gopis, they were thoroughly fixing their minds and hearts in the thoughts of Krishna. So these are the supreme glories of the gopis. And here at this point, the Mathuravasis, they don't even want to mention anything much about their separation during the Rasalila, because they know that what the gopis went through. So like this, the Mathuravasis, they continuously lament because they do not have this much stock of pious credits, meaning transcendentally pious credits, to be able to see Krishna in that way. Because even in Mathura is not very conducive for them to enjoy seeing Krishna the way the Vrajavasis could see Krishna. Another verse. Now this verse was spoken by Krishna himself glorifying the gopis. It's a famous verse. This is a very famous verse right after Krishna returns back, and then all the gopis chastise him in the middle of the Rasalila after he goes out, and then he comes back and then he speaks to the gopis at this point. This is from the Bhagavatam, verse number 10:32-22 Bhagavatam. न पारयेहं निरवत्य संयुजां स्वसाधुकृत्यं विबुधायुसापि वा या महाब्जन्तुरजागेह शृङ्खलाः संवृश्य तत्त्वा प्रतियातु साधुना. I am unable to repay my debt for your spotless service even within a lifetime of Brahma. Who's telling this? Krishna is telling this. And Krishna is telling this to the gopis. He says, I am unable to repay my debt for your spotless service even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. So Krishna is saying, actually, I can never repay you. It's impossible to repay the gopis. It is impossible. Krishna cannot repay the gopis at any point. It is only their own glorious deeds that actually is their compensation. So this is what is the glories of the gopis. This verse talks about the most exalted position of the gopis and their pure love for Krishna. When Krishna suddenly disappeared in the beginning of the Rasa dance, the gopis, they cried to a great extent with great pain. But then he reappeared in the middle and he sat comfortably in their midst and he listened to all their eager questions. And at that time when Krishna heard all their complaints and their questions, the Lord with his own mouth, he explains the wonderful aspect of the love of the gopis and the faultless love they have for him. And he told that he can never repay them. So neglecting all the considerations, these gopis, they have submerged their minds and thoughts on Krishna with spotless prema. So therefore Krishna says that I consider myself unable to repay the gopis for their devotion even in a lifetime of Brahma. He says, I can never give a proper compensation for the devotion of the gopis. Actually, the correct compensation, he says, the compensation for you is your own glorious deeds or your own saintly behavior. That is the only way that you can actually get your own compensation, because they have shown such great saintly behavior that only that is actually a true compensation for these gopis. So like this, Krishna is so amazed. He's so amazed and he's so carried away by the commitment that the gopis have for him, because they have cut all the knots of all sorts of attachments to family and everything else. And so many duties these gopis had in the land of Vrindavan. They had so many things. They had to fear society, so many things, but they cut off everything. They had to just give up everything just because they wanted to show their love to Krishna. So therefore Krishna says that your own saintliness will be the repayment for the debt that I have for you, and there is nothing else I can do to reciprocate with your love. So like this, it can also mean the gopis, their own virtuous acts is the compensation. It can mean their saintly behavior. So like that, there are various meanings for the word susadhu krityam. Swasadhu krityam can be understood in various ways. So anything that the gopis did, sometimes the gopis would also chastise Krishna. They would be angry with Krishna. They would do all these things. Even those are also glorious deeds. Those are also considered as saintly activities, because the gopis did everything out of love. So therefore Krishna was saying, whatever you do out of love or when you're angry or whatever it is, that is actually your saintly behavior, and that is the compensation. And Krishna is very confidently saying, I can never repay you. And because Krishna, look at Krishna's situation. Krishna, he had so many obligations and so many worldly duties. He had to do so many things, right? He had to go to Mathura. He had to become a king. He had to satisfy devotees there. He had to kill demons. He's got 100 things. So he could never be like the gopis. The gopis were selfless. They were always thinking about Krishna. But Krishna, he could not give back the same love in the same proportion. So he's always indebted. He's always indebted. What did he do? He left them in the name of duty. He left them in the name of having other activities to do. So he was never so surrendered to the gopis as the gopis were surrendered to him. So therefore, Krishna says that actually I can never repay you. Actually, Krishna has made a promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Ye yata mam prabhatyante tam satayva bhajamyaham. As long as all surrender unto me, I reward you them accordingly. So in all humility, Krishna very sweetly requests the gopis that for the saintly behavior, they have to be repaid by their own good qualities. Because he says that, you know, he's going to reciprocate with people as they approach him. But in the case of the gopis, it seems to be impossible even for Krishna. And one more interesting point that is being made by Srila Sanatan Goswami is that he says that in this world, sadhuna, by your own saintly qualities, is the compensation. That is what Krishna says in this verse, right? But sadhuna can also mean that he himself cannot reciprocate adequately. But perhaps in the future, some of the sadhu, some of the devotees of Krishna will become the followers of the gopi and they will serve the gopi faithfully and repay what Krishna has to repay the gopis. So that's a very beautiful realization that Sanatan Goswami writes. He says that in the future, the only repayment for you is your own saintly qualities. But maybe in the future, there will be some sadhus who are the followers of the gopis. They will be able to do some sort of repayment by following in your footsteps. Like that Sanatan Goswami, he churns out another meaning for the word sadhuna, which actually means saintly qualities. So now we'll see what happened when Krishna spoke to Uddhava. Now Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in the 10th canto about the glories of the gopis before Krishna sends Uddhava to go and give the message to the gopis. We all know the story of how Uddhava was sent as a messenger carrying the message of Krishna, and he tried to go and convince the gopis. And again in the 11th canto, there is another conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, where again Krishna speaks about the glories of the gopis to Uddhava. So in two places he speaks about the glories. Now these are a set of verses Krishna speaks to Uddhava, and all these verses are loaded with a lot of commentary by our acharyas. We'll try to do at least two of the verses that were spoken by Krishna to Uddhava, and then we'll continue the rest of the verses in our next class, and then we'll see what else is there in Bhagavatam about the glories of the gopis in our next session. So first let's do at least two verses. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46 verses 3 to 6, of which 3 and 4 we will try to do today. Gacchya Uddhava Vrajam Saumya Pitror Nau Pitri Mavaha Gopina Madviyogadim Matsandeshair Vimochaya. This is a verse spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. He is saying, Gacchya Uddhava Vrajam Saumya. Saumya Pitror Nau Pitrim Avaha. So first he says that, oh Uddhava, you go to Vraja. Saumya, oh Saumya Uddhava. Saumya means very pleasing. Uddhava's face is very pleasing. So he says, oh Saumya Uddhava, you go. You go where? You go to Vraja. And what you should do there? You should give pleasure to my parents. Pitror Nau Pitrim Avaha. Give pleasure to my parents. Also, Gopinam Mad Viyogadim. Meaning, you also relieve the gopis of their suffering and separation from me, and you give my message. Mat sandeshar vimochaya. Go and give my message to the gopis. So, two things. One is relieve the suffering of the parents, and then also relieve the suffering of the gopis. Specifically in this verse, he says, give pleasure to my parents and relieve the suffering of the gopis. Very interesting verse. And this verse was spoken by Krishna. This was the first verse when he calls Uddhava and he tells him to go as a messenger. Now, when Krishna is speaking this verse, Krishna is actually pouring out his heart to Uddhava. See, when we are in front of a person who really loves us, if we do not truly love them, okay, if we do not truly have that affection for them, we'll try to be nice in front of them. We'll do everything so that they are happy. But in their absence, we may not have the same feelings. When they are not in front of us, we may not have the same feelings. When they are in front of us, yes, we have to express, we have to reciprocate. So we will show a similar kind of love. But in their absence, there is no necessity for us to reciprocate, right? We can just be normal and say, yeah, I know. She's a nice girl, that's all. But here you see the real heart of Krishna. Even in the absence from the gopis, even in the absence of the gopis, he's thinking about the gopis. He indicates his feelings that, A, these gopis are really suffering in the separation of me and they should be taken care of. So please appease them, give them this message. So he's expressing his true feelings and he's giving these confidential statements to his confidential friend Uddhava. And this shows that Krishna also feels that he's very indebted to the gopis. Though he's not able to truly repay them, he feels that sense of indebtedness. In the absence also, he's expressing the same thing to his confidential friend. So like this, he's telling you, go and you appease and pacify these Rajavasis. These Rajavasis are suffering so much. They're having these intense pangs of separation from me, and they are burning in an uncontrollable fire of separation. So Krishna's message was supposed to sprinkle them a nectar of the company of Uddhava, so that very soon they would have some hopes that Krishna is going to return. Now, in the first half of this verse, first he says, go and console my mother and father. In the second half, he tells Uddhava, you give a special attention to the gopis. And why he's saying, Uddhava, you specifically give special attention to the gopis and to my, and you also console my parents? Because why Uddhava? Uddhava, see in this verse also he says, oh, Uddhava, you go. You have a very beautiful space. Uddhava, you go. Now, Uddhava, the word Uddhava means a festival. The word Uddhava means a festival. So by calling him Uddhava, Krishna is implying just by meeting Uddhava, just by seeing Uddhava, the gopis will be immersed in a festival and they'll get encouraged. Because the festival is hearing Krishna's message. The festival is having the hope that Krishna is going to return. So when they see Uddhava, automatically a festival will be initiated in their hearts. So that is one of the reasons why he says, oh, Uddhava, you go. Go as a festival for them. And then Krishna, he refers to himself in plural, because see, you see this verse, it says our, let me read that verse again for you. It says, dear gentle Uddhava, go to Vraja and give pleasure to our parents. He doesn't say my parents, he says our parents. So why does he say our parents? He says our parents because he feels very proud. Sometimes when you're very proud of being the child of, when you're feeling proud in Sanskrit or in Hindi, sometimes this respectful me will be there. There's a, sometimes you say me and then you have this respectful connotation to that me in Sanskrit and Hindi sometimes. So why is that coming? That is coming when there is a, some respect or when there is a little pride. What was the pride that Krishna was having? Krishna was having this pride that he is the son of Nanda and Yashoda. So therefore he was saying that our parents. And not only that, another meaning is also both Nanda and Yashoda are also the parents of both Krishna and Balaram. So he's including Balram also because Balram has also left Vrindavan and come. So he's including Balram also in this message. So like this, he says, actually, go and tell Nanda and Yashoda that they should be satisfied. Give them satisfaction with the message that both Krishna and Balrama are without them, but they really love you. So go and give this message. And Uddhava, his face is very saumya. Saumya means very pleasing. He's very mild by nature. So when they see this beautiful moon-like face, both Nanda and Yashoda will feel very pleasing. Just by seeing Uddhava, they will get a festival. They will feel like they're having a festival that Krishna is going to return. And just his pleasing ways, Uddhava's face and his talks, that itself will be pleasing to the hearts of Yashoda and Nanda, and it will console them. So like this, Krishna is telling Uddhava that you go and you do this. Now, it's okay. Parents, yes, they will, just by seeing Uddhava and hearing the message from Uddhava, some little bit of appeasing can happen. That is also very difficult. Still, at least they can try. But then pleasing the gopis, it will require much more than Uddhava's fine looks and fine message and fine presentation. The gopis, they are feeling this pain of separation from Krishna. To relieve them, it's very hard. It is very hard. So therefore, Krishna is saying that nothing less than his own words will actually help. So therefore, he's giving his own message specifically so that the gopis can get some relief. And they have been separated and they have been thinking about Krishna and his absence. So therefore, by giving my own message, please give them my message, Krishna tells. So because of the separation that they are feeling, unless they specifically receive a private message from Krishna, personal message from Krishna, their hearts are not going to be appeased. So therefore Krishna says, let them receive something very special from me. Let them get my private message and they will feel some sort of relief. But of course the gopis do not feel any relief even with that. But at least Krishna tried something. So there's one more verse. We'll go to that and then we'll stop. Or we'll probably stop here. It's a good point to stop. We have so many verses. Krishna to Uddhava. And okay, one more verse. Okay, one more verse. We'll just do this and we'll stop. It's a good thing. Okay, we'll do one more verse. The minds of the gopis are always absorbed in me and their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, including ordinary happiness in this life and the religious duties needed for happiness in the next. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain the gopis in all circumstances. He's saying he is responsible for the sustenance of the gopis. So, in this verse, Krishna is telling Uddhava that the gopis need to be very carefully consoled. It's not easy to console them. You have to be very, very careful when you take my message. And he also tells that he feels very obliged to the gopis because the gopis are the greatest of the Lord's devotees. And because the gopis are constantly thinking about Krishna, sometimes it may appear that when Uddhava goes and sees them, they may appear to be some sort of insane people. They might be like as if they are afflicted by madness. They may look as if they are possessed by insanity. But then he's telling Uddhava that try to understand that they are appearing like that because I am their life and soul. And they may appear to be in the verge of death. But that is all because of the love and devotion that they have. The unconditional love and devotion that they have for me. And because for my sake, they actually forsake everybody. They forsake their husband, their children, their homes. And now it may appear that they are living desolate they are very helpless. But understand that these gopis have no other shelter other than me. I could be their only shelter. Now, another question may be asked, okay, if these gopis are so desperate, if they are so desolate, and if they are so mad thinking about Krishna all the time, and they think that only Krishna is their shelter, and if they have sacrificed everything for Krishna, then why can't they just go to Mathura? Simple solution, just go to Mathura and be with him, right? But then the gopis, they have already given a promise to Krishna. I mean, rather Krishna has given a promise to the gopis that he would soon return to Vraja. When Krishna left the gopis in the, when Nanda Maharaj and the gopas had gone with Krishna to Mathura to leave him, at that time, somehow or the other, Krishna consoled Nanda Maharaj to return. So when he consoled him to return, he sent a message to the gopis telling them that I will return. It's a promise. And you should maintain all your activities and your life properly because remember, I will return. So like this, since this message was there, they were very sure that Krishna would somehow return back to Vraja. And they knew that Krishna, and in fact, Krishna also gives lots of jewels and other gifts for the gopis and others when Nanda Maharaj was returning. So they think that I should wear all these jewels, I should accept all these gifts because if I don't do all this and if I don't live here and show that I am happy, Krishna will not be happy. So like this, they began to nicely dress themselves and ornament themselves. And they were doing all this because they did not have, their only attachment was to see Krishna happy. So therefore the gopis actually, though they may appear somewhat mad or insane, they may even be well decorated. They may be even very well decorated and appearing like as if they want to stay only in Vraja, though Krishna is not present with them. So Krishna is telling to Uddhava, don't get confused. That's how the gopis are. Because they ultimately want to see only my happiness. That is the success of their life. The ultimate success in their life is not some sort of material happiness or following some sort of dharma. Their actually ultimate happiness is actually just to give me pleasure. So like this, he tells him, you just carry out this message. Just take this message and go to Vraja. And understand that these women, they have done extremely great sacrifices. They have cut their social connections. They have given up their feminine virtues and shyness and chastity just on any sort of ordinary dharma just for my sake, for the happiness, for my happiness. So like this, Uddhava, he should understand that the gopis are extremely special. And another point that Krishna makes is that Uddhava may be a little worried whether he will be able to find the gopis because these gopis, they seem to have abandoned everything and they are wandering around in the forest of Vrindavan aimlessly. So they have rejected social ties and all that Krishna was saying, right? When Krishna was saying all this, Uddhava might think that it would be very hard to spot the gopis. Maybe they are lost somewhere and he has to go and find them in some deep forest. But then Krishna assures Uddhava that don't worry, these Vrajavasis, these girls, though they have mentally abandoned everything, still they continue to provide even for their husband and children. Meaning they continue to provide for their family in a physical way, though they have mentally abandoned everything. It's not that they have completely left and they have gone somewhere. And don't worry, these husbands are also not ostracized them in any way. Meaning they have not rejected their wives in any way because they are not following all these dharmic principles. Because Krishna is the ultimate protector. He says that I am actually their protector. He says, right, I am providing for them. He's not only providing for the gopis, he's not only the protector of the gopis, but he's also the protector and the provider for the gopis' families. So therefore, Krishna, he says, I am the protector and through my personal energy, I am providing for them. I am providing for the needs of the husbands. I am providing for the needs of the family, for the children and for the gopis also. And I'm also providing for their integrity. For them as follow integrity and for their necessity to follow this three dharma, that also I am giving protection. So like this, he was telling Uddhava, don't worry, everything is resting on me. I am taking care of them. And all that they are doing is they are showing their intense devotion to me. Don't get confused. You will find them. You will talk to them. They may appear to be a little mad, but don't worry. That is all because of the love and devotion that they have for me. So like this, we'll stop here. We have gone too much over time. So we'll stop here. There is so much more about the gopis. We'll continue in our next session. Hare Krishna, any questions, comments or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you. It was for a nice class. Wow. I was like, literally, like, I mean, I could feel like how the gopis were like feeling right now.
You see them
feeling. I mean, I could feel Krishna was right, like in front of me right now, and I was like, oh my god.
You have so much devotion, Anshu. That's really beautiful. You're just 14 years old, and you're so amazing, so amazing. Thank you, Anshu.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Your narration was too good. Hare Krishna Mataji, it was too good.
Hare Krishna Shailaja Mataji, thank you so much.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Shailaja Mataji, thank you so much.
Mataji, good night, Mataji.
I pen, but yes.
Mataji, good night, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, and do it. Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Any other questions, comments, or realizations anyone has?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Just a repetition question. That part where you said that Krishna was referring to himself in the plural.
Mm.
Can you repeat that part? Why was he doing like that?
You see sometimes even Prabhupada, he says our movement, our. So in Sanskrit and in Hindi and in some certain Indian languages, there is a difference when I say you. So for example, the Hindi speaking people could probably understand, there's a difference between tum and aap, right? If I'm not wrong. Tum is without respect, aap is with respect. That is for you, that indicates you. And similarly for me, it is, I don't know what it is actually in Hindi. Okay, anyway, it's me. Me has a respectful connotation and a one without respect. So like that.
I know that some other languages are like that too, like Latin.
So when he says that, in one meaning is that it is plural. So why we use plural connotation in Sanskrit, or sometimes it can really mean plural. Like here, he says Aha means both he and Balaram. So it is plural. our parents. He's saying our parents means both Krishna and Balram's parents. Another meaning is he's so proud that they are his parents. So our parents. That was the.
Yeah, so that's that there is like a reverential way of referring to his own parents.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and he's not, it's not that he's including Uddhava in that our parents.
No, he's not including.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
As usual, very wonderful narration, lively narration. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gaurangi Mataji.
Hey, Krishna Mataji, thank you for the class. I really loved it. I loved your the way that you said the verses and how you explained it, and you said how the gopis feel about Krishna. I really love that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashu. Fourth grade A section. Thank you.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. This is Advai. I really like your class. In the starting, when you said that the gopis, when they got lost, they were singing Krishna, and then they were talking like Krishna and like everything like Krishna. I heard that also the complexion turned blue also.
Oh, see, so nice. Thank you, Advait, for adding that. That was very sweet.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji, for the wonderful class.
Oh, thank you, Sri. So nice to hear your voice. Thank you for joining.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. The class was wonderful, wonderful. So much of details into it and the bhav of the gopi. I forgot to write it down, but there was one point where you said that Sanatan Goswami gives a different aspect of the gopis. What was that?
Different?
The same thing, but Sanatan Goswami gives a different view over it. That, oh Krishna, why am I forgetting it?
Maybe it was about the saint, when the saint Venus, right?
That's what I'm about, thinking. The saints repaying the gopis since Krishna.
Yeah. Right. That the benediction given to the gopis, that is so awesome. This is like the churning of the ocean is giving so many jewels out. And this churning of the gopis bhav, I don't know how many coming down the generation, how many more realizations will be picked up from this.
Oh.
And really, right? Whatever was left out for the gopis, things to be glorified, our acharyas are doing it, right? Our Guru Maharajas are it's really amazing, amazing. And how can such a, in anything, they will find it out. We have Jona dekhe, Ravi dekhe Kavi, right? Sun cannot see that, a Kavi can also see from that. Beautiful, Mataji. Beautiful, beautiful realization that was. And the way you put it off is amazing. We say, right, Shrimad Bhagavatam has to be heard from a pure devotee, that Brihad Bhagavatam Vrita has to be heard from you. That's really, really amazing, Mataji.
Really,
you're blessed.
Thank you for the association, Mataji. Thank you so much. We all are reading together. Thank you, Mataji.
No, I think this gopi bhav, many of them must be because of this COVID situation when we are not able to go to the temple, not able to see the Lord. That time, this rasa must be experienced by each and every person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
This is not COVID-19. This is just Krishna playing with everybody to give that vow. Okay, you do not know what gopis are going through, so have this now. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you again.
Thank you, Sita Preeti Mataji. Thank you for your inputs. Always. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Mataji,
you can go ahead, Mataji. I will ask you.
No, I went already. I'm just... I have you. It's your turn now. Go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. All kids are also have been really hearing this story. Very nice. Their realization is more nice than what I got, I feel. But Mataji, such a beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. And your background is really making us to take that mood. Where gopis are crying for Krishna and Krishna is hiding and singing behind the tree. That is so nice, Mataji. That is so nice. And the one point I really like is like you were trying to point out there how Mayavadi thinks that, you know, you become Krishna and then it's not like here gopis mood is like that. We should try to understand the difference there. They are in the separation, they are acting, enacting like him so that they can feel in them Krishna's presence. That's the mood here, not like their mood. Their mood is different. That point I really like, Mataji. And how the Uddhava is feeling when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, that he is feeling that go and talk to our parents, that proudness. Mm-hmm. I could understand that when you are trying to explain that, you know, we say our mother, because sometimes we are over thinking that, you know, she's not only my mother, because you feel so great of her, like she's a mother of everybody. Mm-hmm. It's like that. Even sometimes when you think of your friends also, if you want to glorify them, oh, she's our friend, not my friend, you know, our friend. Because, you know, you make her to be great because for you it is great. So nice, Mataji. I could really connect to myself there, what you're talking about, that point. And I don't know whether I really got it correctly. You were telling that Krishna was telling to Uddhava that gopis will be dressing well. It doesn't mean that they are, I don't know whether did I got it correctly or not, Mataji, that point.
Yeah, somewhat like that. Like they could be appearing to be mad, but still they'll be dressed well.
Maybe I dreamed or what you said. I don't know. Sometimes I dream when the class is going on. So my own world, something will come in mind. I don't miss up the points. So I understood that point. Like, you know, sometimes we may look normal, but inside emotions are more, you know, we don't want to show to our emotion. And at the same time, they were very eager. Oh no, maybe Krishna comes now. And if I sit and cry, how does it look like?
Ah.
So that mood is there for gopis here. That one, Uddhava, Krishna was explaining to Uddhava, that main thing. I really like Mataji. So nice class. Very, very beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji. I keep on talking like this. I want to give opportunity to others also. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
You just reflected all the realizations so beautifully. Thank you, Vinita Mataji, for putting it together. Hare Bol.
Just like we say, our Prithi Vilasini Mataji.
our dear friends, all of you. Our
again, Prithi Vilasini
Vinita Mataji.
Very nice, Mataji. Your class is very nice.
Thank you, Vrinda, baby.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Just one more thing. The fact that, well, it was interesting to learn that Uddhava's name means festival.
Mm.
And so Krishna was saying that if he goes to deliver this message, it will be like a festival for them.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is that because he looks so much like Krishna?
Yes, he looks very Saumya, he's very beautiful and he looks like Krishna, that is correct. And also just giving that message is like a festival for them. Yeah, both.
Mm-hmm. And it would be a festival even for the gopis or just for the parents?
Let me go back to that verse. Yeah, I think it was mainly for the parents. Yeah, mainly for the parents.
Yeah, the
first half.
I think so, because I think the gopis were not at all pacified by Uddhava, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think they were not feeling any kind of festival mood at all.
Not
in
at
seeing
all.
Him.
Yeah.
So I think the festival refers only to how the parents would feel. But I wonder, did the parents actually feel like that when they saw Uddhava? Do we know?
I mean, it's only a commentary from, I mean, commentary meaning it is the understanding of the word Uddhava fit in here. But let me also tell you something. Yeah. Yeah, see, I'll just read this directly, okay? Uddhava means festival. So by using this name, Krishna implies that just by meeting Uddhava, the Vrajavasis could feel very much encouraged. So he means all the Vrajavasis, there will be some sort of encouragement when they see Uddhava, that a message has come from Uddhava. They just feel some sort of encouragement. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they see somebody that looks like Krishna is coming. Maybe that's like a sign to them that Krishna will also soon be coming.
Yes.
Maybe it's something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you,
Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Radhika. Very beautiful class, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Radhika. It's so nice to hear from you.
Hare Bol. Thank you. Mataji, I just have a small question, Mataji. I don't know like I can ask this or not, but can there be like different moods, Mataji? Like, is there like higher or lower moods? If one person is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full consciousness, how can they be like considered higher or lower than anyone else who is like similarly connected to Krishna?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Mataji, generally, when a person is, when we talk about rasas, we say that, oh, the gopis are the topmost, Madhurya is the topmost. Then below that is Vatsalya, below that is Sakya, and below that is Dasya, and below that is neutral, Shantaras. So these are all from a neutral perspective. When we see as a third person, we are able to grade them like that. Okay, because we see the intensity of love and the reciprocal love that they are having, what they are exhibiting and the reciprocal feelings that they are having when they are serving Krishna. So from a neutral perspective, from a third person point of view, we are making all this analysis. But the person itself, when he's involved in that particular mood with Krishna, he feels complete satisfaction and he feels his relationship is the best. So that is the beauty of Krishna satisfying everybody. Everyone is satisfied. Everyone is best because individually when they are relating to Krishna in a particular way, they feel it is the best. And the example of Hanuman is a very commonly quoted example. That Hanuman, he's in Dasyaras, right? He's always serving Lord Ram as a servant and he feels complete satisfaction in that particular mood. If you ask him to be like a mother of Lord Ram or a lover of Lord Ram, it won't fit. It won't fit. He's going to feel very uncomfortable doing that. So for him, that is the best. And for Ram, that is the best from Hanuman. Ram doesn't want Hanuman to be anything else other than his loyal servant. So similarly, Hanuman wants only that relationship as a master from Lord Ram. Like that, it applies to every devotee. Every devotee has a unique relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is best for that devotee and for the Lord from that devotee. But when we look from a neutral perspective, when we look away from the scene, like as a third person viewing the whole thing, we can understand that the intensity and the reciprocal love of the gopis, what they feel for Krishna is definitely the topmost. So, like that. Just like Mataji, even in the mundane world, we see that an unmarried lover's relationship is definitely very intense and very different. The separation feelings that they have is very different from any other relationship. Were you able to relate to it, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Radhika Mataji. Okay, so if there are no more questions or comments.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what a beautiful class, Mataji. Very, very wonderful class. Glories of young gopis is definitely, I mean, so nectarian. Like how Krishna himself also has glorified gopis so beautifully. Like he cannot repay the love they are giving to Krishna. So wonderful. And how the Mathura Vasis, like women of Mathura, are glorifying gopis. There is so much to learn from that. They are not feeling jealous or envy or anything. They are just glorifying them. Like, so beautiful. And they are glorifying them in the present tense. That is such a wonderful point. Yeah, and then Krishna, how Krishna is telling Uddhava about the gopis, how the situation will be, but still, you know, how, why they are like that. How they might seem to be mad, but why they are like that. And so Krishna purposely, he sends the Uddhava to gopis so that he gets that bhav, because so then when Krishna says to them that I am protecting them, although they are thinking of me, I am maintaining them. It means that he is empowering them to everything. Does it mean that? It's like that, right?
Yes, that he is empowering them in everything, actually.
Yeah, so wonderful. And I also liked one point that Krishna looks very beautiful in the Shayanarthi. I always agree to that point. I mean, I work backup service in temple, and sometimes they take out the dresses, and sometimes they give me to keep it on the hangers, and the dresses are so heavy. The jewelry is so heavy, and I'm thinking, how Radharani, she's so slim, how she's carrying everything whole day.
Yeah, I know.
And then I feel relieved when I see her in a simple dress in the night. I feel, oh, she's looking so beautiful. I mean, although she looks beautiful whole day, but they look different, something different in the Shayanarthi. So beautiful.
Shayanarthi, Mangalarthi. Their beauty is, as I see, like million-fold scenes revealed. Yeah.
Thank you once again, Mataji. And I think if you want, you can take 3 or 4 classes also, Maharataji, for the glorifying gopis. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vrinda Mataji, for your very sweet comments and realizations.
Mataji, I have to squeeze in one last thing. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I keep forgetting everything. You know, Krishna said, you know, I cannot repay you. You know, you'll just simply have to take payment in the form of your own qualities. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I know his point is that he is feeling too indebted. Mm-hmm. To them, but well, I don't. I still, even though I get that, but how? What kind of payment is that to pay yourself with your own qualities? I don't understand that. Or is his point only that I just cannot repay? I don't know.
To remain completely indebted, like he's not even able to reciprocate, because he knows his condition, that he cannot even reciprocate in the same way. Like your qualities is your own payment. I mean, it's not within him. He's not able to do anything. So he tells, you have to repay by yourself, meaning you're the abode of such wonderful qualities that only you can actually
pay yourself.
Yeah, pay yourself. That's the only way. Your own qualities are the only way, because I cannot match it. Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah.
I can never match it. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, basically you have to pay yourself.
Yes.
Okay. I have to use that line one day. See if it works. Okay. Thank you, Mandy. I think for real this time, I think this is it.
Okay. Thank you, Narek.
Okay. Thank you, too. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Such a beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Mataji, very, very, very beautiful class. I loved all the points that you had mentioned. I loved the sadhus and how you also mentioned about all their glories, glories of all the younger gopis. I did have a question, Mataji. How are the Mathura Vasis, how are the like the ladies in Mathura able to understand the glories of these younger gopis? Because it's all in the present, and how did they know?
They have heard the glories.
Okay. Yeah, also like what Mataji was just saying, Gaurangi Mataji was talking about Krishna asked the gopis to, you know, they can repay themselves, kind of. He's not able to repay them. But the fact that they are the most glorious devotees of the Lord and is a huge, the compliments that they receive from everyone, that's itself huge. Like they are the topmost devotees. That is so amazing. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your
time. Very nicely you said that, because just by their qualities, they are understood to be the topmost, and they are getting the glorification from everyone. That itself is a way of repayment, right? Even the sadhus, the spiritual masters, the Vaishnava gurus, everyone, they all are the followers of the gopis, that is the Rupanugas, everyone, they are simply glorifying the gopis first, right? So that itself is like a repayment. Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to understand what you said, and I thought that was also very beautiful.
Yes, that's true, Mataji. That is exactly how we can do our little bit, to repay. Yeah. Hari Bol, Mataji. Thank you.
Hari Bol. Okay. So, anyone else wants to add anything, or if everyone is done, we can end the call.
Cut it.
Okay. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining and giving us your valuable association today. We'll end the call if there are no more questions or comments.
Thank you,
Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Akshita. Hare Krishna.